Welcome to the Sportscast. Good morning, March 29th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Periscope. Follow us. Go on thesportscast.net. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. Also, subscribe and leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. So week 16 started last night. Big, huge, one big overtime win, actually, by Purdue. Beating Tennessee 99-94 was an upset. Justin Riley can tell us that. Justin, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hey, man. Great to be here on the opening drive as we head to work this morning. Had a lot happen this week in sports. We got, like you said, Sweet 16. We got some AAF madness, among other things. But, yeah, great to be here.
We'll start with Tennessee-Purdue. Was that a fair scoreline? Do you think either team could have gone to the next? Do you think Purdue deserved this chance to go to the Elite Eight?
Oh, absolutely, man. Purdue is one of the best teams in college basketball this season. And quite frankly, I thought they going in that they were going to have the upper hand against Tennessee. I thought they were the better team. Even though Tennessee's had a really good year, congratulations to Rick Barnes and his squad. They've done some things this season that typically isn't the norm for Tennessee basketball, but got them to a Sweet 16. I just thought that Purdue would have the decided edge, and I thought they would win a little bit more than they did, a little bit more convincingly. However, Tennessee showed some fight, showed some heart, especially during a time where people were writing them off in the game. Looked like Purdue was going to put it away a little bit early, but like Barnes and his crew decided to rise up from the ashes and just put up an astounding fight and managed to tie the game up and then send us to overtime. And it turned out to be one of the best games we've seen in the tournament thus far.
Yeah, Ryan Klein had 27 points. Carson Edwards had 29 points. Those two guys are pretty much the best players in Purdue. And then we got for Tennessee, we saw Grant Williams scoring 21. Admiral Schofield had 21 points. And Lamont Turner had 15. So, Tennessee did their best to represent the SEC. But now it's up to Kentucky carrying the load, which they actually play tonight. And we've got Auburn playing tonight as well. Let's go a little bit brief. Gonzaga won. Beat Florida State. That was a given. Texas Tech blew out Michigan. Were you surprised?
Absolutely. To be honest with you, I thought it would be a little bit more of a competition than what we saw, especially since Michigan is coming into this game, one of the better teams in the tournament and has quite a better resume than Texas Tech. But, my gosh, it's like Texas Tech said, you know what, forget all that. We're going to the Elite Eight, and we're going to put Michigan down, and they did. I was just shocked. I actually had Texas Tech picked to win this game, but I thought it was going to be much more of a contest than what we saw.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised myself. I actually was watching the whole match. Virginia beat Oregon 53-49. It was closer than people thought. Tyler was right. He did choose Virginia. Did you pick Virginia, too?
I did, but I expected a little bit more scoring than what we got. That was a very low-scoring game, but a good game, albeit. I thought, actually, that Oregon might sneak out an upset in this game. But, they managed to keep it close, but Virginia pulled it out. He got the victory, and they earned the right to go to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I'm pretty convinced that that Oregon was the last one that the one with like double digit seed to get deep into the bracket. But as experts in the Sportscast said, they will not, and I was the wrong one. Alabama basketball hired a new coach. His name is Nate Oates from Buffalo. Can this guy take you guys to the March Madness next year?
Am I on board the oat boat? I don't know. To be honest with you, from everything that experts are saying around college football, he's a pretty solid guy, and he's pretty straight-laced. He tells it like it is, and he's a no-nonsense type of coach. Kind of has a little bit of a saving mentality. you know, not quite the pedigree of a Nick Saban, but he's coming in after putting up some great numbers with Buffalo. I believe three out of the last four NCAA tournaments, Buffalo has been a participant, which is absolutely amazing. He has been the MAC Coach of the Year, and he's done some pretty impressive things while there. But now he's going to a different situation. He's going to a Power 5 conference where it's just a little bit different, a little bit harder, and plus he's also inheriting quite a project. You know, to be honest with you, as an Alabama fan, I was hoping for a bigger splash, you know, bigger name higher than what we got, because quite honestly, we've done the mid-major experiment before with Anthony Grant, and it didn't fare too well. So I feel like we needed someone who has quite a resume to come in and make an immediate impact, and who's going to be that guy that when they hear his name, kids are going to be like, okay, we're going there. We're gonna get to a Elite Eight. We're gonna get to a Final Four. You know what? And this guy can get us to the NBA. I don't know if Oates is gonna be that guy. It remains to be seen. We're just gonna have to give him a chance. But it's time for Alabama basketball to stop with the experimentation and start with the production. To be quite honest.
Yeah, Nathan Oates is coming from Buffalo. He had a great time at Buffalo. Great season. He made it to March Madness. I think he lost in the first round, right? Or
He did. Yeah. Well, no. I want to say he made it to the second round.
I think he did, but, yeah. Buffalo beat like the first game, which was pretty easy as far as I remember.
And they had, but he had Buffalo ranked fairly high throughout the majority of the season, which is pretty phenomenal for that program.
Correct. They beat Arizona State 91-74, but they lost against Texas Tech. Your Texas Tech.
My Texas Tech, my Red Raiders. which is proven to be, you know, a legit thing right now. So Nate Oates lost to a fairly good squad, especially after what we saw demonstrated last night. One thing I want to add, I like Rick Barnes yesterday. You know, one of the biggest buzzes around campus right now for Alabama is that we have several players who have entered the transfer portal, one being Kira Lewis, and then who is an outstanding up-and-coming freshman talent. And then you know, we've got two other players in the transfer portal. And they asked him about that point blank in the in his press conference yesterday. He said, well, maybe these kids need to be in the transfer portal. So, meaning that, you know, maybe they don't have the right attitudes. Maybe they don't have the right mindset for what he is bringing to Alabama. So he's not going to put up with anything, and he's ready to get to work.
Yeah, I mean, he's not afraid of starting from scratch if he has to. Obviously, he has to reorganize and reshuffle the recruitment department and like, the basketball. But I have a good feeling about this guy. Hopefully, you know, I think like the first thing he'll do is, you know, try to get you guys to the March Madness. Maybe not next year, but in 2 years. His annual salary is $837,000 until 2024.
Oh, well, you know, that's a pretty good chunk of change, man. And, you know, I know it's not probably as much as some of the other coaches in the SEC and basketball are making right now, but I think athletic director Greg Byron is wanting him to prove his stripes. And be quite honest with you, if he makes it to an NCAA tournament next year, I fully expect the salary to go up. And keep in mind, you know, Alabama fans and people who are watching college basketball, he has inherited quite the project. Oates is going to have to completely change the atmosphere there. He's going to have to completely change the culture. He's going to have to probably do away with some bad seats. He may have to, like you said, you know, clean house and start over from scratch. He's going to have to change the way things are done, like bad attitudes, poor work ethic, not being able to sustain leads, being pitiful at the free throw line, so on and so forth. But you get what I'm saying. He's got his work cut out for him.
I think he's really excited about it. I think he sees a lot of potential, and obviously, you know, he'll be at the coach lunchroom with Nick Saban, so that's, you know, also exciting.
Hey, Nick Saban actually showed up to his press conference yesterday, and that's the first time that Nick Saban has shown up for a press conference for a hiring for our basketball program. So maybe that says a little something there. Maybe he's getting the endorsement from Coach Saban. So
that
hey, if that's the case, that's good.
That was a pretty motivating feeling, I bet. Let's get into game predictions for tonight.
Okay.
Let's go. Obviously, we're going to start with March Madness. Let's go right into LSU, Michigan State. Where will Justin go on this one?
Well, I really like LSU, and I still feel like if they didn't have some of the things surrounding them, if they did coming into the tournament, they'd probably be a better team, a better focused squad. Although they are playing very focused, and they have done very well. I really, really like them. And as an SEC guy, you know, I'm wearing my SEC glasses here. And would love to see them move on to the next round, but Michigan State is just way too good. They've been doing this for way too long. And Tom Izzo just has that team dialed in and focused. I think LSU's going to put up a good fight. I think it's going to be one of those that's going to be decided in the end, maybe even in overtime. But I feel that Michigan State is going to pull away and head to the Elite Eight.
Did you see the game last night where I think something happened in the booth that they had some electrical issues, and I guess Charles Barkley and the people from New York had to, like, commentate on the game?
I heard something about that, but I didn't see it.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I really thought it was way better. It's like, I mean, hey, you know,
hey, man,
on the court, but
he put Charles in the mix, man. It's going to be quality entertainment.
It's going to be great. That's why he won an Emmy for it. Auburn versus UNC.
Man, tell you what, no one is playing better than UNC right now. They're one of the hottest teams in the country, yeah. other than Zion Williamson University across the way. But Auburn has really done some great things, too. They've got amazing depth, and I'd said in a previous podcast, one of the good things about Auburn is if they get on a shooting streak and they're just nailing shots, it's really hard to cool them off. They've got great depth. They've got great team basketball being played there. But I just think that North Carolina is just going to be way too strong. And I wouldn't be sad if Auburn won, and I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn won because they're just really playing quality ball. But I just think that North Carolina is going to be way too strong, and I think they'll be headed to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, what is Auburn, you know, why do they do better in basketball than Alabama does?
Well, for one, you know, it starts with their coach. They have one of the better coaches in the game who's been successful at every school he's been at. So, and that makes a big difference. And he's brought in some quality players. And he doesn't have the problems Alabama's had. You know, he doesn't have the distractions. He doesn't have any problem with getting his players motivated every minute of a game. You know, he doesn't relinquish big leads. They're fundamentally sound. They're disciplined, which is absent from Alabama.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast to talk about. Let's go to Virginia Tech versus Duke.
Well, Virginia Tech has been playing pretty well, and of course, some may argue that Duke has played pretty pedestrian here as of late, and some even say that they're not the team that they've been made out to be. But, you know, of course, they just went up against a very good UCF team, especially with Taco Fall leading the charge there. I'm not going to take anything away from Duke because they had a quality, tough, lucky win. But, hey, sometimes to win a championship, you got to have a little bit of luck, and they did have luck on several occasions. But I believe that's going to be Duke's wake-up call, and I think that Duke is going to win this game against Virginia Tech with ease.
Duke wins. Houston versus Kentucky might be the best matchup tonight.
I really like it. I like that Houston is back in the mix of things in college basketball. This has been the first relevant Houston squad we've seen since the famous Phi Slamma Jamma squad with Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler. But Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler are not on this squad. But Kentucky, they're out of the SEC, they're the strongest talent, and they have the ability to do what a lot of these top-tier teams does, and that is turn it on to another level, the tournament button. They press the tournament button, which sends them to playing at an elite level. And I think that because of Kentucky being able to do that, because they're a mainstay in the tournament, they have the decided edge. And I think that they have quality players. But I think it's going to be a tough contest because they have a few players, one major player that has been battling some injury, and it's been a toss-up as to whether or not he was going to be able to go this week. So, but he has alluded to that he'll to the media and others that he would be okay. But I feel like that's going to be the only reason why Kentucky may struggle. But like I said, they're going to push the tournament on button, and they're going to excel. And I feel like Kentucky's going to win this game. They'll be to Elite Eight, and they'll carry the weight for the SEC going forward.
The best team in the SEC. Let's go to Elite Eight tomorrow night. None of these games tonight is going to affect them tomorrow. Texas Tech versus Gonzaga.
Gonzaga is just way too strong, even though Texas Tech is playing at a better level. And they did pull off the improbable upset of Michigan. But Gonzaga is just really focused. And man, I just don't see anything or anyone getting in their way.
Gonzaga is basketball. Purdue versus Virginia.
Honestly, I feel like Purdue is the better squad. I think they're playing better ball. I think that you've seen just really how good they are, especially when faced with adversity. And to be honest with you, I've tried buying into Virginia for the past couple of tournaments when they looked like world beaters, only to be disappointed. I can't jump on their bandwagon again. I'm going Purdue.
Purdue wins. Let's switch out of college basketball, and let's get into the Alliance of American Football. There's been talks this week about that they'll only stay on or be back next season, or actually could fold if they don't have an agreement with the NFL Players Union, meaning that they want players from the NFL, young players especially, to come and develop, I guess that's the word, develop, in the American Alliance Football League. Obviously, they want to become the new NFL Europe, but obviously, the players' union may not go in that direction. What have you heard?
Well, I just think the whole thing is absolutely absurd. I think this is what I don't get. The alliance was established to be a developmental league for the NFL. They had sponsorship by NFL franchises with some of these teams, with hopes of developing players and bringing players in to give them another opportunity to excel. And now, because the AAF is wanting the NFL to filter in their younger players, players that who aren't quite ready for prime time to be developed. And for all of a sudden, the NFL is pumping the brakes. That don't make sense to me. It's contradictory. This is supposed to be a developmental league, but you don't want to supply those players to be developed. So what exactly is the NFL trying to accomplish? Another thing that I don't fully understand is there's been some disagreements with establishing some sort of deal that's going to protect these players if and when they sustain injury. Why is this an issue? You're supposed to be protecting your players. So you're telling me that they're out there on a hope and a prayer and that they don't get hurt and you're not going to protect them? That's an issue for me. And it looks like both sides just aren't agreeing on a fairly simple issue. As a matter of fact, the majority owner of the AAF has said that he's going to employ the "take my toys or go home" approach if the players union does not give in to this, and could pull the plug on the AAF as early as next week. That's absolutely absurd. This shouldn't be an issue right now. This is an issue for the off season. Once the playoffs have been played, the championship has been won, and these players are given, an opportunity to play for what they came to the league for, not, and of course they came in the league to get to the NFL, but also too, man, they're putting their bodies on the line every week to get to the playoffs, to get to a championship, to have something to show for it, to to end this before they have an opportunity to compete for those things is a total disservice to these players. It's absurd.
Yeah, it's something that I'm really, really disappointed. I think this is a good opportunity for the NFL to bring back a development league like, you know, the Alliance, you know, give the Alliance a chance. I think it would be a great opportunity for them to develop players. Sometimes these players need a second chance. They need to be reevaluated, and I think going through this league is huge. I think what happened with the NFL Europe was great. You brought in players like Jack Delhomme and Kurt Warner, and they became successful in the NFL. Obviously, you know, a lot of other sports have it as well. Baseball, soccer, they have these development leagues for players to, you know, give a second chance. And also the NBA. I mean, they're paying $150,000 per player if you want to, you know, go into the NBA G League. So we'll see what happens. I hope the league continues. Hopefully they'll play the playoffs and have their championship and then have these talks in July with the NFL, with Goodell, and hopefully we'll be able to, you know. I mean, so far it's been a great league, so hopefully we'll see, you know, hopefully like there'll be some positive news. Anyways, Justin, we are coming towards the end of the show. Obviously, we got a lot going on. Real quick, well, we're not going to go through that. Gronkowski retired. Quick thoughts on that.
Well, one of the best tight ends to ever play the game. He's doing it pretty young, but he's doing it at the top of his game, which, you know, I greatly applaud him for that.
Awesome.
And he has set the standard for, you know, tight ends. And matter of fact, he has put up Hall of Fame numbers at a pace or at a rate that others hadn't. Man, I saw something the other day where, you know, he has far exceeded Shannon Sharp. His numbers that he put up, and Shannon Sharp is a Hall of Fame tight end, but he did it in less time. Shannon Sharp played 16 seasons, whereas I believe Gronk's only played 9. That's just truly amazing. He's going to be a hard guy to replace, but the Patriots will be able to find that guy who takes on the reins, and some people think it's going to be Irv Smith at the NFL draft. So we're going to see, and it's going to be interesting to see what Gronk does next. I got a feeling that he's not going to go away quietly, and he's going to be somebody that we see on screen in one form or another. Some people have even speculated to say that he will be in the WWE. So we'll see what happens.
That'd be a good fit. Anyways, this comes to the end of the show. Justin, how can people reach you online to talk to you about the American Alliance Football, the Alliance of American Football?
Well, jump on Twitter, at the Sportscast 1. I'm there. I'm running the show. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Same thing with Instagram. So, yeah, hit me up on one of those two places. We'd be glad to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Go on thesportscast.net. Follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1, on Instagram at thesportscast1, and like us on Facebook. Please leave a rating and review. Justin, thanks for catching up on the morning Sportscast edition.
Yes, sir. Glad to do it.